10. Romans 13, beginning in verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want to go back and look at this. He said that love was the fulfilling of the law. Also, in the scriptures, and that is what the law of Jesus is, and that is one word, love. The love is the fulfilling of all the law. First of all, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said that's the fulfilling of the whole law. Now, you can't love the Lord till you trust Him and believe Him. That's the beginning of it, is to be saved. I know these little children love the Lord, and I know, but there comes a time in everyone's life that enmity comes into our life, in our spiritual life. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. He said, but the commandment came, and sin revived, and I died. He didn't die physically. He died spiritually. So that happens to all of us. And there was a time when I was an innocent little child, and we're going to look at some of that tonight, dealing with time. There was a time that I was innocent. And then God worked in on me through my conscience. And we're going to read that tonight to you. That God works on people through their conscience, through the Holy Spirit, convicting, condemning, reproving their conscience. And then, of course, after that, I needed the Lord. I was lost. And I'm glad that He had mercy on me. And I was able to find Him, and I was able to be saved. But now listen, after you're saved, we're loving. Now, He warned us that knowing the time, and that knowing the time, do you really know what time it is? Well, we got clocks and watches and phones and everything else to know what time it is, but do you spiritually know what time it is? Do you know the day that we're living in? And I believe the Scripture, there's some things that we don't have for the coming of Christ in the air, that they did have for His coming in birth. They had a timeline for the birth of Jesus. They knew. They were people looking for Him. They were two people in the temple every day looking for a little baby. They were wise men that somehow knew to follow a star. And they were looking for the Messiah. There were people all over that were looking for Him, and I'll tell you why. They could read and they could count. In Daniel chapter 9, they knew that from the decree, and we'll study that one of these days in Daniel 9, there in Daniel 9, they were 490 years proclaimed against Israel. And they knew that from the decree to build the wall and restore Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince was going to be 483 years. They knew that. There was 490 years that were proclaimed against them. But they knew after 483 years, Jesus was coming on the scene. They knew. They could read. They could study. And they studied the book of Jeremiah, and they studied the book of Daniel, and they knew that the Lord was going to come. And not only that, they knew, every one of them knew where He was going to be born, didn't they? You know, Nicodemus went in and defended Jesus right before they crucified Him. Nicodemus went and defended Him to the other Pharisees, and they rebuked Him, and they said, "Search the Scriptures. Nothing, no prophet ever come out of Nazareth. The Messiah, He's going to come out of Bethlehem." Well, they didn't know the history of Jesus, did they? They knew where He was going to be born. They knew when He was going to be born. Maybe not the exact day, but they knew pretty much the time. And we don't have that today. I'm sorry to tell you that no man knows the hour of the coming of Christ in the air. Nobody knows that. I don't know it. You don't know it. And if a man stand here in this pulpit and tells you he does know it, he's not telling you the truth. He don't know. And I've heard men do it before. Not where I was preaching, but I've heard them do it. You can't do that. People's got it all figured out. You know, it's this time and that time and that time. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord's the only one that knows the time. God the Father knows when that Jesus is going to come back to this earth, and I don't. But that does not mean that I'm in the dark. I'm not in the dark. And I might read that to you in a few minutes, but you're not supposed to be in the dark either, because you, if you're saved, are a child of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said that day shouldn't sneak up on us like a thief, because we're the children of the light. We're supposed to be ready. That's where you have to go read that. And that knowing the time, you know the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you this, what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I'm more saved or I'm closer to being saved, because I'm already saved. I was just as saved the night I got saved at Carnes Baptist Church. I was just as saved then as I am now. What it means, my salvation, let me tell you, there's a name that goes with that, and the name is Jesus. He's our salvation, and if you're saved, He's your salvation. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved other than Christ Jesus. So our salvation is Jesus, and that simply means that He's nearer than when we believed. And what that's saying is, every day you live, that's one day closer to the coming of Christ. That's what it means. He's coming. Well, I tell you, we don't ever know what's going to happen one day or the next, do we? You know, I've got my problems, and you've got your problems. I go see people, well, they got worse problems than I do. Every day we live, you know, man, they some days get up and you go out and it's just a good day. Some days, you wished you stayed in your bed. But every day you live, that's one day closer to the coming of Christ. We need to know what time it is. Now, we're living in the last time. I am a person, and He told us that what we ought to do, if we know this, we ought to be a godly people. We ought to put on the armor of light. We ought to not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Don't make plans to sin. Don't do that. He told us not to walk in rioting and drunkenness. And isn't that, man, that is the way of the world today. Chambering and wantonness. Chambering, if I understand what that is living together in sin. Living together in sin. And He said, don't do that. Well, you know, the divorce rate, I understand, it's kind of stabilized. You know why? Ain't many people get married. When they don't get married, then that doesn't affect the divorce rate, does it? There's just a lot of people not getting married. And the scripture said that's not right. In fact, it's a church offense is what it is. Now, he said here that knowing the time. I'm a person, I believe in dispensation. I believe that God divided up time into different dispensations. He's always had a witness. And in every way in this world, He's always going to have a witness. Now, the witness has not always been the way it is today. The first dispensation that there ever was, and that just means a time period, and every one of these are different, that it's God dealt with people different. The message has always been the same, the blood that God was going to shed in providing a sacrifice for our sins. It's all pointed to Jesus. Now, the first dispensation was innocence. That's how man and wife lived. And I don't know how long that time lasted. I don't have any idea. You don't either. I tell you just at least my personal opinion, and that's worth whatever you think it is. I don't think it was very long. I don't think it was very long. I don't think Adam and Eve lived thousands of years in the garden. Do you? I don't think it was very long after they were created that Satan began his plan and God had his already ready. I don't think that it lasted very long. I'll put it this way, it didn't last long enough for them to have children. You might say, well, preacher, they were innocent. That was a different time. They didn't have no sin. There's no sin in a man and a woman in marriage. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, said that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers, adulterers and whoremongers will God judge. That's what it said. God told them before they ever sinned to be fruitful and to multiply, to replenish the earth. Some people have made a deal about that there was an earth before this one, but that's not the case. That word replenish meant to fill it up. They could have had children in innocence. But they didn't. They didn't. I don't think it lasted very long. That's the first dispensation was innocence. The next dispensation was the time of conscience. I want to read that to you. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And I'd like to read just a little something over there. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Well, let's go read verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now before the law of Moses, people still died, didn't they? Listen to what it said. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So if men died and sin wasn't imputed where there is no law, then there must have been some kind of a law before the law of Moses. Must have been some kind of law. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. So you see, God put a time period here from Adam to Moses. That's the time of conscience. And I know there's a lot of other things. The flood happened and it was a time of patriarchs. I could go into all that, but let's just read here. Romans chapter 2 in verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish
without law. And as many of them have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. Now, people talk about, and some people have the idea that the gospel is what makes people lost when they hear the gospel, but that's not so. If that was so, then all those folks in Africa or South America that, you know, they wouldn't be lost, would they? I'm not going to get in a big lesson on that tonight, but I can assure you this. The gospel is not what kills. The gospel is what brings life. Eternal life. Let's go and read. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. You have a law. You got a built-in law. You got something built in you. Which show the works of the law written in their hearts. When God made man, He made him innocent. But when man fell, it wasn't just... Listen, God didn't just leave man in sin with no hope. God worked on every man, and God has worked on every man and woman and boy and girl that's ever come in this world that come to a reasonable age and mind. Their conscience. Let me tell you the difference. Got a little 3-year-old grandson. And I'll tell you what he could do. If he got away from us, he ain't had no clothes on, he'd run right out in front, naked in front of every one of you, right here through this pulpit. He would. It wouldn't bother him not one bit. You know why? He didn't have that conscience. It's not developed. It's there, but it just didn't develop yet. Now, that'd be a different story with us, wouldn't it? Lord of mercy. I want clothes on. I do. You know, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but it's the truth, isn't it? And the difference is conscience. One of these days, little old Chet's going to grow up, and he's going to get to the place where he knows right and wrong. What was the name of that tree? What was the name of that tree in the Garden of Eden? The knowledge of what? Of good and evil. Good and evil. Not just evil. So God works on every person's heart. John chapter 1 said this about Jesus, that He was the light of the world, the man that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's a certain amount of light. Everybody has. Everybody has a certain amount of light. They might not have what you got. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're here and you're lost tonight, you are one of the most fortunate people in the entire world. Because you've heard the gospel preached. Not just by me, but by many others. And listen, that's something. You can be saved and you can have eternal life. And that's a wonderful opportunity. And man, people ought to just jump on that. Let's go on and read. For when the Gentiles which have, verse 14, not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The age of conscience. You know the reason people still died a death and they were guilty of sin? Before the law of Moses, they had the law in their hearts. And also this. Romans chapter 1. In verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness
and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In them. For God hath showed it unto them. Everywhere there's ever been human beings, some way or another, they worshiped something, didn't they? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, you can look out here and you can see the creation of God, can't you? You go outside tonight, well, you won't deny it because it's cloudy. But man, you look up there, you see those stars, and God put them in a special place. They all go around one little star up there at the north. And you know, God provided a star there that men would know where they're at on the earth by that star. Isn't that something? You can always find the north star. We all know the big difference it points to. Isn't that something? You know, the moon is a lot smaller than the earth, isn't it? And the moon is a whole lot smaller than the sun. Let me tell you what God did. You know, their apparent diameter in the sky is exactly the same. Is that coincidence? Because, you know, when you get an eclipse, the moon fits just exactly right over the sun. And you know why all them astronomers, they all want to go look at that eclipse? Because it fits perfectly over the sun, and they can see the outside part of the sun. It's the same diameter in our sky when we look at it. Of course, that's because the sun's a long way off and the moon's a lot closer. But isn't that, why wouldn't the moon be a lot smaller than the sun in the sky? Why wouldn't the moon be a lot bigger in the sky than the sun? But no, they're the same size when we look at them. That is not a coincidence. It's not. Children, how in the world can you look at a child born and not know there's a God? Man, I'm going to tell you, every time that little boy said, "Hey, Paul," man, it just does something up inside of me. I swell up more. The other one, when he looks up at me and smiles, it just, you know, I mean, everything's okay. That man, the old devil can be pounding on me hard, and that makes me want to live. Makes me want to get up in the morning. Makes me want to keep putting one foot in front of the other. There's God. And the invisible things of God are clearly seen and known. There is no such thing as a person that doesn't know. They know. Amen. They're willingly ignorant is what they are. These atheists, they're willingly ignorant. Amen. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm not going to go on and on with that. But in the period from Adam to Moses, there was a law. And the law was in the hearts and consciences of men. It's still there. You got it. If you're lost, is your heart smoting you? Amen. Smiting you? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Drawing. He said, if I be lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. He's doing it. He's drawing you. It means He wants you to come. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Well, from Adam to Moses, there wasn't any law, but there was those patriarchs. You know what they did? The head of the household, he sacrificed. He's the one that was, I guess you can say, sort of the spiritual leader. Job, Father Abraham, Noah. Those men, Isaac, Jacob, patriarchs. Patriarchs. And the Word of God was given through those men that were in contact with God. God spoke to them.
God had
they had promises. So the second dispensation was all the way up to Moses, and then the third.
I believe there's seven.
I'm not going to probably. I'll come back and go into detail on it. I'll tell you all of them. There's the dispensation of the law. I believe whenever the dispensation of innocence ended, it ended when Adam and Eve sinned. And that's when conscience began. They immediately got a conscience. And it reigned all the way till there was a law. God gave a law. When Moses brought that law down and presented it to the people, and you know what they did? They promised that they would keep it all. And Moses sprinkled the book with blood, and he sprinkled the people with the blood of the covenant of the Old Testament. And there's where the dispensation of the law started. And let me tell you something, there wasn't anything wrong with the law. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19. And there, Psalm 19 is another place that you can read about the handiwork of God. You can read about it over there. You can look at the sun and know there's a God. You can look at the moon, know there's a God. You can look around you. You know there is. And if there's a God, you know, I might have already told y'all this, but there's one thing an atheist can never say. An atheist can never say it was meant to be. He can never say that one thing in his entire life or her entire life was meant to be. Because if there was anything in their life that was meant to be, that means somebody else had to plan it. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is, I don't know how many things in my life I can look back at, and it was meant to be. My wife, it was meant to be. God did it. He brought us together. There's no way I wouldn't be here today without her. Now, I'm not putting her up above any of you. I don't want to do that. But it was meant to be. Man, they were just things that happened. It was meant for me to come here. I don't know, you might think, well, I don't know about that, preacher, but it, at least from my standpoint, it was meant to be. It wasn't a coincidence. And if there's ever one thing in your life that you can honestly say that it was not a coincidence, then you have to admit there's a God that purposed it. And you know what He said? He said everything had a purpose. If there's a purpose in one thing in your life, Brother Mike, then everything in your life has a purpose. Even the bad things. Even those things when we get the news that devastates us and we don't know what we're going to do, there's a purpose in it. Man, y'all pray for me and y'all call me up in the morning, Brother Charles, and tell me that. I need to hear it. Maybe I'll listen to this CD. I need to hear that. So there's a purpose. God made it to where you could see. And then there came the law. Now, the plan of God was revealed by men that God chose to speak for Him. Noah, during the time of conscience, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, was he not? Well, we go back and we find something in the New Testament we don't even find in the Old Testament. We find a man back there that pleased God. And he pleased God to the place that God took him, and he was not. God translated him. But listen to what Enoch said, and I'll close, and I'll have to probably come back to this. But let's just listen before we get into the law. Let's go to the book of Jude. Yes, sir. God's had preachers and men to uphold His word in every single generation, in every dispensation. And in the time of conscience from Adam to Moses, in verse 14 of the book of Jude, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he lived in the time of conscience. He's one of them patriarchs. Prophesying of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among of them, all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Enoch said, the Lord's coming back to this earth. Now that wasn't coming in the air, that's coming to earth. That's at the end of the tribulation. That's what He's talking about. And He probably could have told you about the millennial reign that God was going to bring around, you know? The kingdom of God being on earth. But all the way back there before the flood, Brother Darrell, this man prophesied and he said, the Lord's coming back. He's trying to tell them there's going to be a time. You know how long ago that was? The flood was 1,656 years after creation. And before that, Enoch lived. There's been thousands of years since Enoch. What time are you living in? Well, there's the time of the law, and the law and the prophets were unto John. And then after John, Jesus set up the church, and I'm going to show you that. We'll get through with this. Not tonight. And then after the church is the tribulation. That's the sixth dispensation. It's going to be a change. That's the next thing that's going to change. That's going to change, brother. That's that seventh, that's that last week over there from Daniel. The one that was missing 7 years. 483 years, and Jesus came to earth, and that last seven is still ahead of us. Somewhere out in the future. Boy, I don't want to go through that. I don't believe I am. Somebody said, what if you're wrong and you go through part of the tribulation? Well, I'm just going to say this. I don't believe I am. But even if I do, the Lord took care of them folks down yonder in Egypt, didn't He? The frogs wasn't all over them. And they had light down in the land of Goshen. Then after tribulation, the kingdom of our God comes to this earth. And then after that is eternity. And a new earth. A new heaven. It's going to be something else. I like to think about it. I like to study it. I want to leave it with you tonight. What time are we in? We're in the time of the end. And I'm going to tell you what time that tribulation's for. It's for Israel. God ain't through with them. He's going to draw them back to Him. We'll study that too one of these days if we live. We may not have to, because you may know, me and you both may know everything there is to know about it in a week or two. The Lord comes back maybe tomorrow. But wouldn't that be good if the Lord come back tomorrow? Amen. Man, there'd be some things that I'm dreading that I won't have to face. But I better buck up, because I've got to live till He comes back. Amen. And He said, put on the armor of light. We can't lay down and die. We can't lay down and quit. What if I lay down and quit? That precious little boy I talked about, He's just now getting where he can pull up, and he'll look at his grandpa and smile. He's going to need Jesus. I got one that's 12 and one that's 11. I can't tell you. As far as I can tell, I don't know. They've never approached me. But the time's coming. Jake Paul got saved when he was 9 years old, and he's never wavered. Other people later on. Look, there's no age for God to convict your heart. It's in here. It's in here. If God's convicted you tonight, you know, where would you go if you died tonight? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Listen, if you think, if in your mind you just answered that question and you know you'd go to hell, you can trust Jesus tonight and put all that behind you for the rest of your life. I'm praying for you. Let's have a verse for song.